Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas, and welcome to our Blue Christmas service. The holiday season is not always a time of gladness and mirth. Sometimes it brings feelings of sadness, and this can be especially true this year. Blue Christmas services acknowledge this reality. Join us now as we contemplate the promise of the Christmas star. Hello and welcome to this Blue Christmas service here at Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. Blue Christmas services have become a tradition in many churches in order to acknowledge the reality that for many of us, this is not a particularly happy time of the year. We may not experience the peace and joy that so many others seem to be experiencing. We may have suffered loss or pain, and we just have trouble getting into that holiday spirit. Well, these services are sometimes called services of the longest night and are traditionally held on the winter solstice, the longest night of the year. And it just so happens that tonight is also then the winter solstice. But just as the days become longer and the light returns, we have faith that from here on we'll be able to see the peace and joy of Christmas and the peace and joy of Christ, and that the darkness will lessen its grip on us by just a little bit. Tonight, we're just going to keep things simple. Just a couple of prayers and some Bible passages and a message. And so we're just going to start now with this opening prayer. God of abundant mercy, you have given us grace to pray with one heart and one voice, even though our hearts are broken and our voices tremble with grief and sorrow. Comfort, comfort, Lord, your holy people. Comfort those who sit in darkness. Speak to us of the peace that awaits us, of the balm of healing for our weary and wounded souls. We ask all this, trusting in the name of the one who taught us that whenever two or three are gathered, you are in the midst of us, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, oftentimes when we're feeling pain or loss or grief, so often we're also feeling guilt. And so sometimes as part of these Blue Christmas services, we also have a prayer of confession to be able to deal with that part of our grief. So I invite you now then to join me in this prayer of confession. We confess to you, all knowing God, that we are not the people that we like others to think we are. We're afraid to admit even to ourselves what lies in the depths of our souls. Help us not to shrink from self-knowledge. Forgive us for all the ways that we have wounded one another, sometimes grievously. Send your Spirit to heal and mend what we have left broken. Raise us out of the paralysis of guilt into the freedom of forgiven people. And for those of us who, through long habit, find it hard to receive forgiveness, we ask that you break our bondage and set us free. God of love, we have been wounded by others, sometimes grievously. We have become reluctant to set aside our hurt, our anger, our disappointment. Heal us from this unwillingness to forgive and cleanse us from all thoughts of harm, all schemes of revenge, and all hopes of retribution. Give us the strength, grace, and courage to forgive. And we ask this in the one who knows all our pain, again, the name Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today is from the book of Isaiah. We have been reading a lot from Isaiah the last few weeks. And here I'll read from chapter 40, starting at the first verse. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Matthew. Second chapter, again, starting with the first verse. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
On the day that the Babylonians breached the walls of Jerusalem, the people of Judah watched as every facet of their lives as they knew it had just come to an end. Their city was being besieged, had been besieged for 3 years, and by the end of the 3 years, there was nothing left to eat in the city. And so some of them had grown so desperate that they had eaten things that, while it may keep their body alive, would be a detriment to their minds and place them in a place of madness. As was the custom for the Babylonians, they forced a large segment of the population to go into exile. They had figured out that if you destroy the homes and the communities and the livelihoods of the people, then they become incapable of rebellion. And so in their place, in their homes where they had lived, other conquered people will be moved in, making them also incapable of rebellion. As the people of Judah were led out of the city, they had to endure a 1,200-mile death march to Babylon. And as they did this, they passed fields of dead and rotting bodies there in the hot Middle Eastern sun. It is thought that the vision of the prophet Ezekiel of the Valley of Dry Bones was based upon what the people saw that day as they left Jerusalem. Well, many died on the way there, and the ones that survived, they were expected to set up a new life in Babylon. Yet the exile had been catastrophically traumatic for the people of Judah. So how do you rebuild your lives when every single person in your community is suffering from post-traumatic stress? Well, the psalmist paints a picture of what it was like. "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept, when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, 'Sing us one of the songs of Zion.' But how could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" You see, in the eyes of ancient people, they assumed that if they were away from their own land, then they were cut off from the presence of their gods. They imagined that if they were defeated in war, then their gods had been defeated by their enemies' gods. So the Jews wondered if the Lord had come with them into exile, or if they'd be cut off from the presence of the Lord forever. And they pondered the possibility that the Lord had been defeated by the Babylonian high god of Marduk. Yet they had no choice to build new lives for themselves and their children in this foreign land. But as they built these new lives and new businesses and a new community, they perceived that the Lord had not deserted them and that the Lord had come with them into exile, even into this distant place. And so in response to these new circumstances, they decided to start writing down their story. You see, it was during the exile that the Jews began to write down and edit the books that would become the Hebrew Scriptures, the books that would eventually become known to us as the Old Testament. It was also during this time of exile that a new prophet arose, a new prophet in the tradition of the great 8th century prophet Isaiah. And this second Isaiah, he began to write, and he opened his book with these words. "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Now, we may not have been sent into exile, but everything of this last year has been disturbing and has left us feeling displaced and uneasy. The great 16th century mystic St. John of the Cross wrote of having a dark night of the soul. Well, we've just had a dark year of the soul. We've seen the greatest world pandemic in 100 years. We've seen political division like nothing that we've ever experienced before. We've seen the almost near normalization of racism and white supremacy. And we've also just suffered countless losses that have left us brokenhearted. It may not be as extensive as the exiles, but we as a people have experienced a collective trauma. And sometimes that seems like the only thing that we can agree on. I have a neighbor who still has 8 political yard signs and 2 large political flags in front of their house now 7 weeks after the election. I made a few phone calls today to see if there was anything that could be done about this. And I was informed by the local political party that there was nothing I could do about these signs except put up with them. Well, as I drove here, I tried, though, to reframe and to try to come to a place of compassion for a person who was so traumatized by the results of the election that they can't find it in themselves to take down their political yard signs 7 weeks later. And so in the season of peace, I decided that I'm going to forgive them. And when I drive by, I'm going to enjoy the Christmas lights. And I'm going to remember that 4 years ago, many other people were just as traumatized by the results of that election. But I think it's a little bit harder, though, to be sanguine about the virus that, as of today, has killed almost 320,000 Americans and 1.7 million people worldwide. The proportions of this pandemic are biblical, and the isolation and the uncertainty has affected every single one of us. I live alone, and this has been the loneliest year of my life. Since the month of March, I have received a grand total of 2 hugs. But I know that this is nothing compared with the plight of those who, during these same months, have been stuck at home with their abuser. And I haven't had to watch as my children became despondent when they couldn't go to school or go play with their friends. And I haven't lost my job. And I haven't had to watch as the business that I have put my heart and soul into just wastes away. And I haven't watched as the love of my life struggles to take their last breath before they succumb to this virus. Today in my office, I was listening to Dan Fogelberg's Christmas album, and it brought me back to a memory that I really was unprepared for. I remember last December also sitting in my office, also listening to Dan Fogelberg's Christmas album as Walter Wilcox and Jim Lawrence were working together in the next room. And I even remember Walter calling out, "Is that Dan Fogelberg?" I wonder what I would have thought if I knew then that both Walter and Jim, who at the time were so robust, would have died long before the next December rolled around. I've been grateful, however, that the people that I love, those that are in the medical field, have now received the first of the vaccination. And this gives me hope for the end of the pandemic. But I do wish there's some way that we could inoculate people for the sickness of hate and racism. This sickness never seems to go away, and we've definitely seen a resurgence in this last year. I think God only knows how many people have died as a result of racism. But I do know that God knows every single name. Well, in addition to these collective losses, many of us have had personal losses that really have nothing to do with the unprecedented challenges of this year, but they hurt just as much. And our ability to grieve these losses, well, it's been just impossible to do it in a way that we really need to. And it seems like every ache and pain this year has just been magnified by all the restrictions of COVID that we've had to endure. But we do have to remember, though, that all families, when they sit down to Christmas dinner, no matter which year it is, they sit down to a table where there's an empty place. Now, if we're lucky, the only reason it's empty is because of COVID restrictions. But for some of us, these losses are still very raw and very new. And we wonder if we'll ever be able to enjoy the holidays again. For others of us, these losses happened years or even decades ago. But still, especially this time of year, we can be suddenly surprised when the old grief rises again and we find ourselves overtaken by a loss that happened years ago, and we wonder how a loss could still have that kind of power to overcome us. It does make me wonder then what it was like to be a young teenager, heavily pregnant, on the road, no proper place to give birth, and when it came time to give birth, only could put the newborn in a feeding trough in a stable. And what was it like to later have to watch as that same newborn was nailed to a cross by the Roman state? Sometimes we forget that Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, they lived their entire lives in an occupied territory ruled by a foreign power which held all the cards. We forget that life expectancy back then was about 25 years old. And we forget that plague and pestilence was just an ordinary fact of life. But the world changed that evening during that bleak midwinter night when that newborn came into the world, even if then hardly anyone noticed. But somehow, creation knew the magnitude of that night. And the gospel writer Matthew tells us that the wise men from the east, they came asking about this newborn, saying, "Where is the child who's been born king of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising, and we've come to pay him homage." Well, after inquiring there at the royal court in Jerusalem, Matthew goes on to say that they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child there with its mother Mary, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And after having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Somehow the sky knew the significance of this birth. It's as if a star manifested itself in the sky, as if to say, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all our sins. As many of you are aware, tonight is winter solstice, the longest night of the year, but we've also been graced tonight with another sign from the sky. Tonight, the planets of Jupiter and Saturn will appear closer together in the sky than they have for almost 800 years. God sent us a new Christmas star just when we needed it most. From here on out, each night is going to get shorter, and each day is going to grow just a little bit longer. And in just a few more days, 2020 will be over. Now, things are not going to look different right away, just as it took time for the world to even realize that it had been visited by Emmanuel, God with us. In our own time, in our world, in our hearts, in our souls, they will eventually be healed. Well, if you don't believe me, December 21st is also the feast day of St. Thomas the Apostle, also known to us as Doubting Thomas. And even in his doubt, he refused to give up and was eventually able to experience the peace and presence of Christ. Many years ago, the thought of becoming ordained and becoming a pastor seemed like just a dream. And at that time, I discovered Psalm 27. And it became my theme psalm and a source of strength for many years, the many years that it took for this dream to be realized. Psalm 27 ends with these words. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And now let us, with the confidence of the children of God, receive now this benediction. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. Look for that Christmas star and know the promise that it brings. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We hope you are blessed by this Blue Christmas service. Join us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for our regular service on Facebook Live. God bless you and your family this Christmas season.